Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamer Tag Radio. This is your host, Danny, and I'm going to be calling Paris in a few minutes for a brand new Daily Conversations. For those that don't know, is our phone conversations I record. We call each other all the time. Yeah, today I decided to call Paris because, you know, he's been out, I've been busy, and I think this is like the perfect time for us to talk about Gears 5, what's going on with Destiny, and also a post, an update from EA about the Gamescom player console is building healthy communities. And we're going to be talking about that in a few minutes here, only on Gamer Tag Radio. And that's about it. Head over to GamerTagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback, listen to our past episodes, and search for us on any podcast platform app. Download it. Search for us, subscribe, follow, and the most important thing is share it with your friends. It just takes a few seconds. Just share it. Hey, check this episode out. What you think? It will help us out big time. And also send us questions to be part of FanMail. And here's how.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we're going to be playing here the phone conversation I had with Paris. Check it out.
Hello.
Hey, Paris. What's up, man?
What is going on?
The return of Daily Conversations, man. What's going on, man?
Nah, it's early. It's 9:11 today, and going to my daughter's school after this call because they're going to recognize all military and first responders.
Oh, that's so good. That's good.
Yep.
Yeah, I was actually here 18 years ago too in New York City. For those who are listening, I moved to New York. I'm back to my hometown. So, yeah, I was here when that whole thing happened during 9/11, man. So.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I have a couple of memories of that. Like, well, first, my cousin, he was in the Army at the time, and he actually worked in the World Trade Center. He was like a recruiter or something. They had like an office in the World Trade Center.
Okay.
He was walking. He had gotten off the subway and was walking towards it when the first plane hit.
Wow.
So it's like, that's how crazy that is. He literally could have been in there. Yeah. When that happened.
Small world. And then, small yeah, world. Because my dad, he was a taxi. Actually, if you hear background noise, this construction here is New York City. It's always like crazy sounds here. But anyways, my dad was a cab driver since the 80s. And one of his passengers, he left him at the World Trade. And he noticed there was like papers and stuff dropping like to his car, and he sees that everybody was like looking up, and that's when the first plane crash happened. And he was like, "Well, I'm out of here." And he just left.
Yeah,
he was there. Crazy, 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 man. But Paris, man, couple things, man. One is I watched it today because a day later, but I was watching the Bungie stream that I had on Mixer with Phil and the CEO of Bungie. They were playing, like Strikes. With random people in the community. Yeah, it was pretty cool, man. I liked it. Really awesome. Very laid back. Deej was hosting. Really, really laid back.
Funny fact about, because they were doing that at Bungie, they were doing it in the Twitch room, I know, or the stream room, I guess you should say. The funny thing is, going to the studio, when you first walk in like the reception area, it is literally right off to your left is where that room is. And it's tiny.
It looks
so
big.
Small. It's so small. It is not what you think it is. It is so small where that room is. So I always laugh when I see them do stuff there, because I know exactly where it is. Yeah. It's just funny. It's not what you think.
Yeah, but I think it was cool seeing that, you know, them playing and just casually talking about what's coming up for Bungie. And then casually, Phil talks about like, oh, yeah, we start playing games for Project Scarlet. I'm like, I get it, mentioning it at E3 and all these places, but at a random stream like Bungie, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was pretty cool.
Look, that was calculated. I was watching it when he said that, and I'm like, Phil knows what he's doing. He knows what oh, yeah, I just played the first Scarlet game.
Hey, I wouldn't be surprised if it's, playing... Destiny, just checking to see how like the old games works in Project Scarlet. That's possible too.
Well, I'm in one of the coalition devs let it slip a little bit by basically saying that Scarlet's going to have built-in ray tracing in the hardware, mm-hmm. Which makes me think when Scarlet does come out, we're going to basically, and I think this is for a lot of games too, but we're going to see an update to Gears 5. And the reason I say that is because I'm playing it on PC right now. Danny, let me tell you, insane settings. It is just visually stunning to see this game on PC. And I've checked it out on Xbox One X as well. Don't get me wrong. It looks amazing on Xbox One X too. But just that extra bit of horsepower that you can throw in on PC and do it at insane, it's a showcase, absolute showcase of a game. So I think that's what they're going to go for when Scarlet comes out. To me, I think I got a peek of what Scarlet's going to look like next year for what they have for Gears 5 right now on PC.
You know, in the conversation we were having, Paris, yesterday, I think that this is like the beginning of what's coming for Microsoft. Honestly speaking, like the more I've been playing this game, that I love Forza Horizon. I love that series, right? But I think this is by far the best first party game that they released of this generation so far as a first party game for Microsoft. This is it. And this is the hint of a sneak peek of what's coming next for next gen. And one of the things I also brought up to you that we were talking during our conversation was, 343 need to step it up, man. For Halo Infinite, they need to step it up because the Coalition has been on point ever since they've been working with, the Gear series.
I think it's pretty much a no-brainer after seeing what Coalition has done with Gears 5. Look, Halo is the flagship. Let's not get that twisted at all. That is the number one IP at Microsoft Game Studio, whatever it's called now, right? That is their number one IP. They know, and I've said this before, and I know some people disagreed with me, but Halo Infinite is the most important game in the history of Xbox. Because if that game isn't just the showcase AAA experience that all of us expect it to be, I'm not saying they're going to kill the Halo franchise, but you're going to severely hurt that franchise if this game doesn't knock it out of the park at launch. It is also going to keep the perception going that Microsoft doesn't have great exclusive games. I mean, Gears 5 has obviously gone a long way to try and help with that, but they got to keep that momentum going. And kind of like you're already saying, they're not going to have any major games again until Scarlet, right? This is it with Gears 5. The next major games from Microsoft Game Studios isn't coming until Scarlet comes out. So Halo is launching with Scarlet. It has to be a visual showcase. And the gameplay has to be spot on. And it obviously has to be something that's going to attract new people to want to pick up the hardware for Scarlet, or if they're playing it on PC, want to pick it up on PC, subscribe to Game Pass, whatever the case may be. Infinite has to be that game for them. And they know that. I think that's part of the reason why we saw the shakeup in leadership at 343 as far as the direction of the game goes, because they know they can't mess this up. They cannot mess this up. It has to hit, and it has to hit hard. And I think that's why they've been keeping everything very close to the vest. And then at E3 next year, we're just going to have this big blowout for Halo Infinite, which I have to apologize. to Coalition and the marketing at Xbox, because what have I been criticizing all summer? Why aren't you showing the campaign for Gears 5? What's up with the campaign for Gears 5? Why aren't you showing it? I'm worried. Oh my God. Yep. I was 1,000% wrong. And I'm glad I was wrong. You know what I'm saying? Because now I understand why they kept it close to the vest. And the campaign is fantastic. This is the best campaign in Gears.
Right? Definitely.
So I'm very happy with what Gears 5 turned out to be. You know, I obviously didn't understand what their marketing strategy was, but it seems to be working. It'll be curious to see what the quote unquote, because with Game Pass, I don't know how they're going to distribute this, but it'll be interesting to see what the numbers are for Gears 5 at launch. But I think a lot of people, I think this game, especially with the $1 deal, has gotten a lot of people to just sign up for Game Pass. So now, I think we're going to see a lot of traffic through Game Pass for Gears.
My question to you, when you say the numbers as like sales or just
sales.
Ultimate, Game Pass Ultimate or Game Pass
just
overall?
That's what I mean. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a thing of we're going to see a lot of people actually signed up for Ultimate versus just buying it directly. Yep. Unless you have people, because look, Gears is on Steam now, things like that. So you're going to see some PC sales for it. You're obviously still going to see some traditional, you know, digital, you know, physical copy sales on Xbox as well. But I think the numbers will spike heavily for Game Pass surrounding Gears, which again, I think that's the play next year for Halo. You're going to see a lot of people sign. Like, I bet you any amount of money you want, they will have a similar $1 deal for Game Pass next year.
Oh, yeah.
Scarlet gets ready to come out. Because
for sure.
You get everyone on that subscription. You get them hooked to that. You say, look at all the games you're getting for that. And look, they're going to be fine with you. If you want to go spend $60 on a game, they're not going to fight you on it, right? But the ultimate long play is to get as many people as possible on that subscription service. Mm-hmm. I'm on it. Like when I had the interview with Aaron Greenberg, we talked about that. Like he was like, how many people have you told? I tell everybody to go get it because it's a no brainer. Why wouldn't you? If you're playing games, if you're into gaming, you should get Game Pass because look at all the games that you're going to get. And as Microsoft continues to improve their exclusive, their first party lineup, it becomes even more of a value because you can only get these games, you know, if you're playing on an Xbox or you're playing on a PC, right? You can't play them on PlayStation, you can't play them on Nintendo. So it just makes sense to subscribe to it.
Yep. Like,
no brainer to me. Absolutely no brainer.
You know what? And I'm excited about the future. Is one is if you watch NFL football last week on NBC on a Thursday night, they aired a TV ad of Gears and it wasn't like in stores now. No. At the end of the TV ad, now on Xbox Game Pass.
Yep. That's the play.
Smart.
Everything they're doing from this point forward, mm-hmm. Game Pass will be in that advertisement somewhere because it just makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing. It's the future. It is absolute future. If you think Nintendo and PlayStation, I'm not saying it's happening anytime soon, but if you think PlayStation and Nintendo don't adopt some type of subscription service at some point in the 2020s, you're crazy. Because they're going to. They absolutely will. Like right now, PlayStation and Nintendo have zero incentive to do it. Zero. Because PlayStation has such an amazing exclusive lineup that you gotta have it. You gotta go play their games, right? Nintendo, obviously, greatest developer in the world, amazing back catalog. They have no reason to really do it right now either. But if Xbox keeps, if they keep improving their portfolio, if their games keep getting better to where now you're starting to see this great value with Game Pass and this great value to get their exclusive lineup through it, now all of a sudden market share starts to go down for PlayStation, starts to go down for Nintendo, and they're like, wait, what can we do? All right, let us do a subscription service. Look, EA's doing it. Ubisoft is doing it. They're all going to eventually do it, man.
Yeah, they are.
It just makes sense.
Yeah, yep. Now, the second thing I wanted to mention is that my brother, he's never been a fan of Gears, right? So he has Xbox Game Pass, and he started playing it, and we've been playing it nonstop, man. Now he loves Gears. And that's a good thing about Xbox Game Pass. People that have never been into certain games, and they see it as available, for, you know, that you could just download it from Game Pass, it's gonna, I think it's gonna bring a lot of new people to the series. A lot of new people, and they could also try the previous games too. Yeah.
100% agree.
Now, my final question about this before we go to the next topic is, will you want Microsoft to do the same thing with Halo Infinite, like marketing wise, not talk about that campaign until maybe, you know, weeks before launch, like similar to Gears, and just focus on the stuff that they added, the things that you do, multiplayer, and so on?
Yes and no. It's a two-part question. I don't want to really know any story details from the campaign, right? But I do want to know about the structure. It's kind of what you're just saying. I want to know the structure of where they're going with the campaign. Is this an open world now? What does that mean? How are we, is it a thing of they're going to try and have this, make Halo a games as a service, so it's an ongoing thing where we're going to be seeing new content come in, new activities, new objectives, things to do. Like, as an example, remember Destiny back in 2014. Happy birthday, Destiny. It's 5-year anniversary, right? So remember back in 2014, we went to that E3. We had no freaking idea what this game was, right?
Yeah.
When we sat down and played our first strike, then we knew. We knew, okay, I'm in, through my wallet at the screen, I'm in, and here I am today, still Destiny super fan. Something similar to that, whereas you don't need to give up the game to me, but create a scenario or an activity where the media or whatever, where even if it's a YouTube video, or just kind of show us a gameplay slice from it, so we can kind of understand where they're going with Halo. Just a taste. That's it. That's all I need. Just tell me Master Chief's back, Cortana's back. Here's the open world that we're doing. Here's the kind of activities you can expect from it. Done. Don't give me no story, nothing. Let me experience that on my own, and I'll be fine. That's it. And like you said, show the multiplayer stuff off. They could do a lot of stuff around that. Probably do some kind of, I would imagine, some kind of multiplayer beta. You know, ramp it up to it, things like that. I'm good, because you already have my money for Halo. Whether I had Game Pass or not, that is an automatic purchase for me day one, because I'm a Halo fan. So you got me. But the thing they got to do, similar to like you said with Gears, they're going to bring in new people. You got to put an incentive out there to get new people to the franchise to come in.
Yeah, agreed.
And all at the same time, don't mess this up, because if you mess up Halo, I'm telling you again, like I said at the top, this is the most important game in the history of Xbox. It is. They gotta nail this. They have to.
You know what? I think that because of Game Pass, Xbox Game Pass, I think marketing wise is gonna change completely for Microsoft. And now thinking about it during the conversation, it makes sense why the Coalition and Xbox decided to market the campaign like this and save everything to the last minute. It's like similar to kind of like Netflix, right? Some shows or movies, they'll show like, you know, like maybe in a month, 2 months before it comes out available, like on Netflix. But most of the time it's like, it's available now. Go find out what it is, because you are already a subscriber, so you're going to download it right away. So I think that when they start promoting Halo, just focus on, like you said, focus on the multiplayer, the new features, a small taste of what you could do in the game. And even that though, Paris, because I didn't know anything about the open world part in Gears that has never been available in the game at all until now. And I found this out a couple weeks before the game launched. They could do that too, man, because it is fine. It's fine now because of Xbox Game Pass. I'm a subscriber, so I'm still going to get it no matter what. I don't have to know about this at E3 or Gamescom. Let me find out the day I buy the game, or maybe 2 weeks before I buy the game. That's fine too, man. Because I think the subscription service changes everything from now on.
It depends on how much adoption they have at that time. And obviously they can see the numbers and know what it is. If the majority of your player base is switching over to your subscription service, then you can start doing that. But I'm pretty sure, it's probably, if I had to guess, it's probably still less than 30% of the player base uses Game Pass, right? So they got to still grow it and cultivate it before you can start doing things like that. So you still have to market the game towards the majority of your player base, which would not be on subscription, even by the time we get to Scarlet.
Now, let's go to the next topic. And I think this is a very important one.
I want to add one in before you go to
the next. Oh, okay. All right. Go for it. Go for it. What?
Because I'm actually very excited about this.
Okay.
In 30 minutes from now, Massive is going to do their state of the game for the Division II. And this is a pretty important one because the next three state of the games, they're going to basically unveil their plan for basically fixing the Division II. How they're going to work on the loot, new content, PvP, Dark Zone, all that kind of stuff. You know, I put out a video that month ago now or whatever, just talking about how, you know, some of the issues that the game was having and, you know, their lack of community presence, things like that. I know they've done an ETF since then where they had a bunch of community members come up to Sweden to the studio and they kind of, you know, got feedback, you know, talked about the game issues, kind of showed them, you know, the roadmap for the future. And I know a couple of people that did go and, you know, they didn't share any details directly with me, but they just said, hey, the game, they like the direction that the game's going. You know, Massive is taking this seriously. They truly care about this, all that. So I'm long-winded thing to say, I'm very excited for State of the Game today because I really, really like the Division 2. It had the best launch of any of these quote unquote online RPG games as a service type games, right? Way better than Destiny did, better than Anthem, et cetera, better than Division 1, all that. Mm-hmm. They just couldn't sustain that momentum. They ran into a loot problem. PvP in the Dark Zone has been an issue. But I'm pretty excited for some of the new content that's going to be coming in episode 2 and episode 3. And I just think, you know, hey, none of these games are roller coasters, right? Destiny, again, the 5-year anniversary, it has constantly been a roller coaster where you have your highest of highs and lowest of lows. Division 2 is in a low right now. It just is. I'm not playing it right now. I'm perfectly honest about that because I've done everything I wanted to do so far. And I don't like the loot in it, and I don't like the PvP. So I'm very anxious to see what the state of the game is going to say here in 30 minutes. And then obviously over the next couple of weeks, their plans to fix certain aspects of the game and then just a roadmap for the future. So I'm very excited for it because I want to see this game do great. I love the setting that it's in. I mean, to me, Destiny, Division 2, those are just two games I could just play all day because I love them,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
So I want to see them fix the Division so I can get back to that. Like that raid we did, you know, for the Division 2 was fantastic. I mean, it was not easy and it had enough of a challenge that I love it. So I'm very curious to see what this next raid is going to be with the Pentagon.
Yep. And we're definitely going to be talking about it on the next episode once we watch the video. I'm excited. I'm very, very excited.
I have one other thing to throw in there. So,
yeah.
Again, 5-year anniversary of Destiny. So I went back and found our Destiny 2 review. or not Destiny 2, Destiny 1 review, excuse me.
Now, my question to you about that, how was the quality? Was it good?
The audio?
Okay.
It was okay. We're better now.
Okay.
It was okay. You could tell I was not using the mic I use now. My audio was different than yours, as an example. Like you could tell I think you and Pete were using similar mics, and then me, Mandy, and Poston were all using different mics, so their audio quality all sounded different.
Oh, okay. All right.
Anyways, back to my point. So this was like 2 weeks after the game came out. We did a review of it, and it's just so funny listening to it. Like me, you, and Pete were super hyped for it. We were just, oh my god, like just loving it, right?
Yeah.
Mandy was being Mandy, where she was just skeptical of everything, which that's why I love Mandy. And then Poston was not high on it either, right? But it was so funny, like just like even then, because I must have just done the raid. I think I just did Vault of Glass because I was on my pulpit even then, 5 years ago. No matchmaking in a raid. There's no way. You can't do it. And you were skeptical then. You're like, ah! I'm like, no! You can't do it! I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's just so hilarious, just the conversation. But even then, you know, we were worried about, like we were excited for the potential of what it could be, you know, content-wise, but we were obviously seeing some of the kinks in the armor then at launch. Because remember, at launch, it was like a 6 at launch and all that stuff. So we were talking about all that stuff. It was just funny to go back 5 years ago and just to see, you know, how we were thinking. back then to where the game is now.
You know what? Because the last episode of GTR, we played an interview that we recorded with John DiMaggio like 11 years ago at E3.
Yeah.
Everybody knows the story, you know. But but make sure to go tune in. Check it out. It's in the previous episode of GTR. So shout out to Adam from Mega Dad's podcast. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast. So, yeah, he was like, man, I love this flashback because, Pavis, you actually think about it. To us, it's like, oh, yeah, we didn't, you know, been there, done that. But there's a lot of listeners that they weren't there. They probably never, they missed the episode. They just started listening to the podcast maybe recently, you know, a couple months ago or maybe a year ago too. So we have so much content from back like over 14 years ago that we could easily have a segment of just flashback. We'll play it. We'll talk about it. We'll do like a commentary of like, how was it at that moment, either recording or where were we during that time? You know, we could do that. We could bring those segments back and just play it on the podcast. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's one of them that will be really cool to do. Like, I'll pick the best parts of that audio review about Destiny and we'll play it and we'll talk about it. You know what I'm saying? Maybe we could do that for the release of the expansion, right? For Destiny.
Yeah.
Just an idea.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Adam from Mega Dad for coming up with that, you know, giving us a shout out about that, a flashback edition type thing. So it was cool. All right, Paris. So one thing that I really want to talk to you about is one of the reasons that you went to Gamescom. We were not allowed to talk about it because I was just waiting for so it could be official. And it was from EA. They have this article that you could check it out now on EA.com. It says, Building Healthy Communities, the Gamescom Player Console. So you were part of this console. Can you tell us the beginning? How was it? The experience? Just everything overall, how it came about. And we'll go from there, man, because I think it's a very important issue to talk about this, man, on the podcast.
I can say this. Well, first and foremost, I want to thank EA for inviting me out to Gamescom to be a part of this Players Console. It's the Building Healthy Communities initiative that they're doing, and it's basically EA stepping up to the plate and being like, look, enough is enough with all this online harassment and bullying that happens in gaming. I mean, here's the thing, and people can get upset with me if they want, but it's the freaking truth. Unless you are a white male online, you experience some type of harassment. Because that's really what it comes down to. If you're a person of color, if you're a woman, or if you're part of, basically if you're gay, I don't know how to say it, if you're homosexual or whatever, but if you're in one of those three categories, you get some type of harassment online. And it's so bad that I do not let my children online if I'm not there to supervise it, because I have no idea what they're going to hear. I'm black man, 45 years old. I know what racism is. I deal with it almost on a daily basis. I have thick enough skin to let it go. My children shouldn't have to deal with that, right? Mm-hmm. If, you know, I have two daughters, they should not have to deal with, because they're a female and they're online, they have to deal with a bunch of sexist comments, right? You know, if you're a gay person, you should not have to deal with your sexual preference being mocked online or called all kind of ridiculous names. That's the whole initiative of the Building Healthy Communities thing. It's like EA is basically brought in some people from the community and they're getting our feedback on what we think they can do better, what kind of tools do they need to implement to try and fix this stuff. And I'm not going to give full details of what we talked about or anything. It is going to be was not a one-time thing. This is going to be an ongoing thing that I'm going to be a part of.
Yeah.
I will simply say this. One piece of feedback that I gave them was the fact that you need accountability online. You know, whatever form that is, part of the problem is it is so easy. And I even saw this on Twitter yesterday when I said I was a part of this. One of the first comments was, oh, stop being so soft and weak and just get over it. And it's like, no. It's not about being soft and weak. I shouldn't have to toughen up to play a game online. I go online to play games to have fun, right? The problem is it's so easy for someone like that guy to sit behind his keyboard anonymous and say stuff like that. Until we make a people accountable for who they actually are, you're going to have this happen. You're going to have the burner accounts online where people will just create a whole bunch of accounts so they can go harass people. One of them gets suspended. They hop over to the next one. But if Paris Lilly, me, if you know it is me and I'm saying racist stuff online or I'm bullying, harassing people online, guess what? Ban my ass and then I can't do that anymore. That's what has to happen. And this is just my opinion. I'm not saying this is what they're doing. I'm just telling you this is one suggestion that I gave is make people accountable. It is a privilege to play online. It is not a right. And that's part of the problem right now. We have to change that narrative that people think it is their God-given right to be able to go online and free speech and all this and say and do whatever the hell they want. No, it's not. It is a EA's has a service. Xbox has a service. Nintendo, PlayStation, etc. They have a EULA on there. They have a user agreement. You have to agree to that. So they need to make sure that they enforce these things. And part of that is accountability. And these are the kind of conversations that they were having. What kind of tools can they implement to better monitor this stuff so they can react more quickly when people are reporting people? Things like that. So, again, this was just the first conversation on it. It was a really good conversation. I was very happy that I was able to be a part of that and basically give my feedback and listen to other people's feedback. Again, I will not say who else was a part of this, but it was freaking heartbreaking sometimes to hear some of the stories from some of the other people that were there, their own personal stories of harassment. You know, again, I'm an old man. I've seen, heard, done it all. So I have thicker skin to it, but I'm very sensitive and have a lot of sympathy towards some of our younger gamers out there that have to deal with this crap, you know, because think about it, you and I, we've been playing games since before the internet even existed, right? So we've been there since day one of this online stuff. Our kids and these younger gamers now, they're literally being born into this world where it is considered okay to harass people. Because think about it, back in the day, before the internet, if you wanted to get together with people to play games, you did it face to face, right?
Yep.
So people weren't, look, I won't say it on here, but people weren't calling me the N-word to my face because they didn't like what I did online because they knew what the repercussions of that would be. Mm-hmm. Now you have the internet. I get to hide behind Dope Gamer 69. So, you know, you can be that anonymous person and say whatever crazy thing you want. You know, I know there was a thing that just came out recently with Overwatch. There was a female jumped into a match with these guys and this guy like just immediately starts harassing her. It's like that has to stop. It has to stop. And that's part of what EA is trying to do. They're trying to be a leader in the space to push this forward. I know Xbox has been trying to do some stuff as well, but the more these companies that get on board and actually take this seriously about getting online harassment will come up with a solution. So like I said, that's why I was at Gamescom. That was my primary goal for being there. This will be an ongoing thing. You may start to see some things come out via EA, just pictures and just other opportunities while we're there. But I mean, yeah, I was a part of it. Not everyone that was there wants to be known that they were there for various reasons. I don't care because if people want to attack me, that's fine. I laugh in their face, but I think it's a very important thing. It's something I definitely take seriously. And anything that I can do to help this process, I'm just very thankful and appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, I think that's important because if all of us want this change, it works both ways. Us, the gaming community, and also companies like EA, which is right now are the first ones to start it. To really take this like, okay, we gotta make a change. We can't do this, man. We can't be going doing the same thing over and over, seeing articles or tweets about harassment and people posting racism and like in online and all that. We gotta make the change, man. And I think this is the beginning. I think this is a very positive move from EA, man. And I know there was 13 members. This is all in the article, but there was 13 members that were there. They're a part of the Game Changers program. And also, from EA, they had Worldwide Customer Experience, EA Security, EA Studios, and the Global Analytics and Insights. And all that were part of the roundtable discussion about this. So it's pretty cool, man. We're going to get to hear more stuff in the future, like more updates from them. So, yeah, that's really cool, man. Really cool. Anything else, Paris?
No, I think that's it. Like I said, I'm excited to watch the state of the game here.
Yeah, it starts in a few minutes. Yeah, man. Remedy just posted a new update about Control. And, dude, DLC, two expansions, and one of the expansions is coming out early next year. It says it's called AWE. Alan Wake, man. I think they're going to mix Alan Wake with Control into one.
Well, yeah, it's all the same world, right?
Yep. So I think this is going to be a introduction and a teaser of what's next for Alan Wake. And I'm excited. Paris, that's one of my favorite games of last generation. I put it up there with Bioshock, Alan Wake. Like, it's so good, man. So I'm excited, man. Very, very excited. So, anything else? That's it? We're good?
No, I think we're good. Good.
All right.
I think we're good, man.
All right, man. Well, Paris, just want to say thanks, man. Great conversation, man.
No, as always. And, yeah, we'll talk soon, man.
All right, definitely, man. All right. Peace.
All right, late.
There.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so that's it, everyone. Make sure to go to gamertagradio.com. That's gamertagradio.com. And yeah, I'm live here in New York City. You're going to hear some background cars and construction and all that. So also, you can go to any podcast platform and just subscribe. Search for Gamertag Radio. Make sure to share with your friends. That means a lot to me because, it's great to hear, you know, listeners from worldwide listening to us, brand new listeners, you know. So, make sure to share, man. So, until next time, we'll be back here. More content here on Gamertag Radio. And I'm out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.